Our reading is from Acts chapter 9. If you want to follow it with me. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, Arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Amen. Have I got news for you? Well, I've got good news for you. The press can give you all the bad news they want, but God gives us good news. And the good news is, irrespective of your age, physical abilities, location, health, God can use you. Absolutely brilliant. And he can use each and every one of us in so many different ways. In fact, the more God uses you, the less you really are aware of it, particularly at the time. In the flyer you got there, there was reference to the Boston bomber during the marathon and how people rushed in to help, irrespective of whether further devices could have exploded. And sometimes it's in times of emergency that we can rise to the fore. But as Christians, I love that verse in Ephesians that says, God can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think. That means the Lord can do a lot with you and with me. Ordinary people, absolutely nothing special. We're not going to rule over governments or find a new light bulb or anything else, although you might be led to do that. But God can use each and every one of us where he has placed us, whether we know him or not. And the Bible's full of stories about God breaking into people's experience. A princess in Egypt 4,000 years ago, going down to the Nile with her attendants to bathe, comes across a basket with a baby in it. God's ordained that she find it. God has ordained that she takes this baby through a woman's compassion and through a woman's motherly heart of mercy. She picks up this baby, sure that it's a Hebrew baby that should have been thrown into the River Nile and drowned at birth, and takes this baby home and looks after this baby, brings this baby up as her own child. And this man grows up to be Moses, the one who led 2.5 million people out of Egypt towards the promised land. Did she know at that time who this baby was? Not a bit of it. Then we've the story here about Ananias. There are three Ananias in Scripture in the New Testament. One's a high priest. One is Ananias and Sapphira that were killed for lying against the Holy Spirit. And the other Ananias is this one who is in his home in Damascus. Never hear of him before this story in Acts chapter 9. Who is he? He's just like you and like me. Just comes to the fore because God speaks to him one night and calls his name Ananias. God was to speak to you. Would you know? Would you know God's voice if he spoke to you? It says that he did it in a vision, doesn't it? It said that he spoke to him. And the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, in verse 10. And he says, "Here I am, Lord." When we share testimony, we don't speak about ourselves. The testimony is always to give God the glory. Anne and I were on our way down south to visit our son when he was living in the south of England. And we have a friend in Kelso. He was a single man in his very late 40s, living in a bachelor pad. But we had known him from Aberdeen. We'd known him for years. And we were staying overnight with him on our way south. He's a teacher. And we had a time of prayer together, and as we were praying, I saw him walking hand in hand up this curving road with black metal railings on the left-hand side. He was holding hands in this picture that I had with a lady wearing a long camel coat, dyed blonde hair, quite sharp features. And I told him what I saw, and he wrote it in a little book. We just prayed about it. We went south. He went to school the next day. About 2 or 3 weeks later, we got a phone call. Bill on Sunday went to this Baptist church that I don't normally go to, and there was a lady sitting there, so I went home and got my little notebook. And she was very similar to the description that you gave. Can't remember if it was less than 2 months after that, Bill were engaged. Then came through the post an invitation to their wedding. And I'd never seen this. I didn't know who this lady was. She was a doctor. She came in through the door, beautifully dressed, of course. The same woman that I had seen in that picture that the Lord gave me. Well, they had a daughter, and I think they must be in their mid-50s at least. They've had twins, so they've three girls, all in the space of 6-7 years. Did I expect that? No. Did I look for it? No. Did Ananias expect to have to go and lay hands on this Saul of Tarsus who had come to imprison them or kill them? He even had heard about this Saul of Tarsus and challenged God in his wisdom. But he said, go, for I have given him a vision of this Ananias laying hands on him to receive his sight. As a policeman for 30 years, and when I left in 95, I wondered what I was going to do with myself. And I did Christian counselling courses, which raised more questions than they answered. So I decided that I would study for a degree in biblical theology. Finished that. I won't go into the rest of it. But in early February 2006, I got a phone call from my son, who works for a particular company. Dad, how would you like to go to the Red Sea tomorrow? Okay then, what's going on? And I don't know if you remember, but there was a ferry sailed from Saudi Arabia going across the Red Sea to Egypt. And there was a fire, and at 10 o'clock at night, the ferry sank with nearly 1,400 people on board, 1,000 of whom lost their lives. And I was asked with another man to go and act as counsellors to those who were operating the remote controlled submarines and cameras, looking for the equivalent of the black box recorder that the Egyptian government wanted. Well, I got my 1,000 jabs that morning from a medical company, went to this survey company at the Bridge of Dawn, got the briefing. Next morning, very early, met the bus that took us to Edinburgh Airport, and we were on our way to the Red Sea. Now, one of the surveyors going to the Red Sea happened to be a friend of my son. As we were on board there, we were most of the time with those operating the submarine and with those surveyors looking at the camera. They were trying to trace this wreck. There were 900 meters under the Red Sea at the bottom with full color cameras. And I was amazed at the lectures I had during my studies on Near East theology and their study of the afterlife was really becoming alive. There, stuck in the sand, 900 meters underneath the sea, for example, were four wooden oars from a lifeboat. And they were sticking up in the sand, perpendicular and equidistant from one another. And as the camera went in, it was as though it was going through a gate. There were white plastic chairs, the ones you don't want to buy because they always break. There were white plastic chairs in the sand, sitting upright, as though they're waiting for someone to sit on them. There was a wheelie bin sitting in its wheels with the lid open. There were other things. It was just as though you were waiting for somebody to walk out from behind a sand dune. It was so vivid and so real. Some in substance of that was we were able, this other chap was an ex-minister, Christian. We were able to witness to the crew, some of whom were Muslim, many of whom were Muslim. The skipper and the first mate were Norwegians. Both of them, their wives, and one had a daughter, another had a son, were Christians who went to school, but the men there, they weren't interested. But we managed to speak about Jesus to them. And before we left, we were able to have a memorial service for those 1,000 people that lost their lives. They even recovered the black box from that wreck that we saw 900 metres below the surface of the sea. Did I ask for that? Not a bit of it. But God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. How big does that get? How big is your God? What is your relationship to God like? I'm not saying he'll bring everyone to the Red Sea. I'm not saying he will give everyone a vision of someone who's going to get married. But what I'm saying is that each and every one of us here has a mission from God. See, when you find it, friends, I really want to encourage you this lunchtime. See, when you find God's purpose for your life. I was part of an organization called the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship International. It was in Aberdeen for 17 years. And it came from a vision of an Armenian whose family had to flee Armenia during or just before the First World War. This man wrote a book, Dima Shikiri, and it was called The Happiest People on Earth. And he is a Christian. He was very wealthy. Had a big cattle ranch in California. But people wanted him to preach. And he was never comfortable preaching. But what he did do was he organized and financed Christian meetings. And he realized his gift was the gift of helps. And he writes in his book and he says, when I realized my gift from God, I became one of the happiest people on earth. And that was the name of his book. Inspired tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people over a 20-year period. When I knew my gift from God, I became one of the happiest people on earth. When you realize your gift from God, you will be one of the happiest people on earth. See, serving God isn't a chore, isn't religious, it's a relationship. How much do you love him? You don't work to gain his acceptance. You're accepted. 1,000 people can hate you, but if God approves of you, you are approved. And if you're one of his children, friends, you're approved. If you're one of his children, he's got a job for you to do in establishing his kingdom here. And when you find that job, you will be one of the happiest people on earth. And you're waking up in the morning and you wonder, what we're doing today, Lord? What's in your program? You can wake up in the morning two ways. You can say, good Lord, it's morning, or good morning, Lord. And it's an attitude of heart. Come and pray.